This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan right now. Dallas Stars TV host, analyst, Emmy Award winner, and the man who will find out if he knows everything about hockey. It is Brian Ray. Good morning, sir.
Gentlemen, happy game day to you.
We are to the conference finals for the third straight year. Tell me that Edmonton is good, but I don't have to be worried because I know they've won 8 of their last 9 playoff games, and the only one they lost was when they gave up a goal with 0.4 seconds left. So I'm a little concerned.
I will say this. When we get to the Final Four in the NHL playoffs to go Game of Thrones on you guys, I do believe all 4 teams have a legitimate claim to the throne.
Ooh.
That's how tight it gets when you get to the Final Four.
So, even Carolina?
Even Carolina, even after last night. Even Carolina. It may not be the most legitimate claim, but it
gotcha.
Is a legitimate claim to the throne. So all 4 teams have a legitimate claim. So, yes, it is not going to be an easy series. There are things to be nervous about with Edmonton, but there are things to be excited about with the Dallas Stars. And I think looking at this series, if you go back to last year's matchup, I think on paper, entering that series last year, you could say Dallas had the better goaltending, Dallas had the better depth, and Dallas had home ice advantage. This year's series, on paper, Dallas, I think, has the better goaltending, and they have home ice advantage. The question mark is, can Dallas's depth start to put their best foot forward the way Edmonton's has through the first couple of rounds of this of these playoffs? That's the biggest thing I'm watching in the first couple of games of this series.
And, you know, when you talk about the goaltending, Skinner is a tough one to figure out because you'd think, hey, obviously we have an advantage because he got benched. And then he came back and threw back-to-back shutouts. And I feel like he's a wild card in terms of I feel significantly more comfortable with what I'll get from Ottinger. But I'm a little worried that Skinner can just show up and be like, no, yeah, I can be awesome too.
That's the, I guess, the frustration and the jubilation of someone who's a wild card. Because,
yeah.
Yes, you have a more, I'll say, established sample size. You know what you're going to get when it comes to Jake Ottinger. Stuart Skinner could absolutely implode. We've seen him do it. But as we saw last year in the conference final, he can also put together his best series of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm with you guys. I have no idea what to make of Edmonton's goaltending. But I do think if you're Dallas, once again, if that depth can start to push forward, now you're forcing Stuart Skinner to be a great goaltender shift after shift after shift, as opposed to getting a couple of waves on him and then you sort of pull back, and getting a couple of waves on him and then you sort of step back. So it's similar to Mackenzie Blackwood for Colorado in the first round. Dallas needed to force Blackwood to be great, and he kind of plateaued as the series went along. I think it's the same thing with Stuart Skinner. He's more proven than Blackwood in the playoffs, but if you can force him to be great on a regular basis, force him to win this series for Edmonton, essentially.
Yeah.
If Dallas can do that, I think you take your shot.
Okay, when you've been watching with this group of guys, and I think the group is kind of Marchment, Duchesne, Ben, Sagan, Robertson, that kind of group that you're talking about that we're hoping gets that next level, which one's been right there, almost right there to, like, it looks like he's about to crack it open?
It's Duchesne for me. And I will admit, I've been saying Matt Duchesne's name for the last few games of the playoffs, that they need a goal from him.
Hey, so do the officials. The officials say Matt Duchesne's name a lot too.
Yeah. But when I was watching the last 3 games of the Winnipeg series, 4, 5, and 6, you know, he hit a post on the power play in 4 or in 5, or, and then he they're actually in game four. I'm getting my God, it feels like it was seven games, but it was only six against Winnipeg. My gosh, it felt like game seven in that last game. But he hit a post himself in game four. He set up Sagan on a beautiful play in game five. Sagan hit a post. You know, in game six, he had a couple of dangerous looks, and Hellebuck was fantastic for Winnipeg. When a player's in a slump and he's not noticeable, that's a player who's cold. But if a guy is in a slump and he's starting to look dangerous, he's starting to have some really close looks, and it's just not quite getting there for him, I'm okay with that. That tells me he's close to getting something across the line, and I do believe at this point for Duchesne, when that first puck goes in and he gets the goal to break the goose egg, I really do think it's going to open the floodgates a little bit for him. Hopefully it's tonight. It would be the perfect time tonight to get into this series with a new team and a new matchup.
Our friend Brian Ray joined us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Kevin yesterday, as he tends to do, forced us to make a decision on Pete DeBoer. If he's a great coach or a good coach.
I think you're going to disagree with me on this.
And in the conversation, it was really nitpicking at what, you know, the definition of that is. You've been around Pete DeBoer. You've seen how he talks to his team. What in your mind makes him such a good coach and the right coach for this team?
So you'll hear a lot of players talk about his message being very direct, and his message is not there's never too much information. He seems to give players, let's take his game seven record, you know, the 9-0 record he has. He essentially gives his players, call it 2 to 3 pieces of information to focus on, and then gets out of the way.
Yep.
You're not getting into the player's head. You're not confusing them or overtaxing them with information. You're giving them a couple of directives to focus on, and then you turn them loose and let them go. So I think that's what makes him a very good head coach in the NHL today. And then for me personally,
hold on, can I just pause real quick? Because you're giving a great answer, and you just hit on a specific phrase that we talked about. Very good. Does he need a cup to make him a great coach?
You know, if we're going to talk legacy, I think we live in this world where, you know, you look back on history, and yes, the players and the coaches who won championships, they seem to have a bump up than the coaches who don't win championships.
It's reality,
so it's kind of one of those, you know, let's look at it this way. Is Marv Levy an excellent football coach, or is he a very, very good football coach?
Yeah.
I think if you ask anybody in the NFL world, especially a coach, they would say he was excellent. But from a fan perspective or a legacy perspective, he's an excellent head coach who just couldn't quite get that championship. Peter DeBoer has, I mean, he's been to the Final Four. I think
eight times.
Well, get this. This is even better. He's been to the conference final 6 of the last 7 years, and he's been fired twice in that span.
Wow.
So there's it's weird when you put into perspective of how life is as a coach in the NHL. If he gets his Stanley Cup, he is going to go down as an excellent all-time coach. I really do think he's that good. But
this podcast is brought to you by Minsky Clinic. One visit can change your life. Minsky Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MINSTY today or visit MinskyClinic.com. That's MinskyClinic.com.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For whatever reason, whether you think it's fair or not, it does feel like getting that championship does add a defining legacy to a player or a coach, even a general manager. I mean, Jim Nill, we were talking about yesterday, they do the general manager of the year voting after round 2 of the playoffs. Like, is he going to three-peat as the general manager of the year?
Yeah, I hope so.
But he's won a Stanley Cup, but it was an assistant general manager in Detroit. He's trying to get his own Stanley Cup as the architect, as the general manager. So, yeah, there could be some legacies on the line, but I think when you dive into the nitty-gritty, you also look back and you go, these are some really, really smart hockey people that are driving this thing for the Stars. So I will say this, to answer your question, I think Peter DeBoer is a great coach. If he gets a Stanley Cup, he starts to enter the excellent all-time historical conversation as his career continues to move along.
I like that. Now, one of the things that could obviously propel the Stars through this series is, I think it's safe to say we all feel significantly better about the special teams than what you saw last year in Edmonton, because you can make a big argument that that was the deciding factor in that series. How do you feel about the Stars special teams going into this series?
So after the depth scoring, that is my number two question mark for the Dallas Stars, because of exactly what you said. You went 0-for last year against this team in your conference final matchup. I think the special teams are in a good place. I think the penalty kill is in an excellent place. You're going to deal with McDavid and Draisaitl and their power play. The Stars will give up some power play goals in this series because that's just unavoidable when you play this team. I think for the Stars on the special teams side, you don't necessarily have to outscore Edmonton when it comes to power play goals, but don't fall into the black hole. Let your power play get a couple of timely goals for you. It's really the timeliness of the power play goals more than anything, and not necessarily just pumping them in left and right. Can you find a way to get a timely power play goal? Because if you do go 0-for again like you did last year, that becomes a problem. But also, it's a very good penalty kill on the Edmonton side. So I wonder about somebody like Mikko Rantanen in this series, where as excellent as he has been, Dallas did not have literally a moose. They did not have a moose like that on their power play last year. They had Joe Pavelski, who's very good at tipping pucks, but they did not have just a behemoth of a human that can take up space like that on the power play. That's where I wonder if we can feel Mikko Rantanen's effects for Dallas in this series. Can he get them some power play goals?
And we're also just starting to see the surface being scratched of him on the ice with Miro on the ice too, which can be a very unique asset to Pete DeBoer as he goes through this. I think I heard Razor recently say, there are a lot of Rays in the Stars organization, by the way. I recently heard.
But there's only one Razor.
that's true. But he said, you know, last year that they in the series, they had five defensemen and wore them down to a nub. We were discussing yesterday, do you think they'll go with seven or six, or do you think that they have a different approach with the defensemen here?
Well, I do think last year Dallas ran out of gas. I think going through that Vegas series and that Colorado series, it just really took a load onto especially the blue line. But by the time they got to Edmonton, I think going 11-7 the last couple of games of the Winnipeg series, it does help. I think seeing Miro Heiskanen clear 20 minutes in the last game against Winnipeg is a good sign. I would not be surprised if we saw 11-7 in one of these first two games or tonight. Well, it's one of those, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
But I think the defense is in a better place in terms of health and minutes this year than they were last year.
Good.
And now the key matchup here is how many times can you get Miro Heiskanen on the ice when McDavid is on the ice? You can control that on home ice, but you cannot do that when you go to Edmonton. So that's if you're looking for a one-on-one matchup or an X-factor matchup, what does McDavid do when Miro is on the ice with them? Because as good as Miro has looked building through the Winnipeg series, now he needs to get up to the Miro level that we all know. Now he needs to completely have the accelerator down to try and work 97 as best he can.
Now, you were talking earlier about some of your key factors in the series or some of the unknowns or X factors. For me, it is, and I know it hasn't cost them yet, but the Stars have scored the first goal only three times in their 13 playoff games. I realize they're 5-5 in the other ones, but only three times. And I just don't think that's going to fly if you consistently fall behind against Edmonton.
You're probably right. Look, there is a historical statistical number that says when you score first in a hockey game, you win more than you lose. The strange thing is, I think what Edmonton do, they rattled off six consecutive comeback wins.
Yes.
In the first game. So is this the series of who doesn't want to score first?
Maybe so.
It's to go full cliche. Maybe that doesn't matter because both of these teams have had the comeback gene in them. I just think at this point you have two really good hockey teams that do not get flustered when the other team gets the first goal, gets the first power play, gets some type of an advantage that tilts momentum in on their side of the ice. These seem like two very good teams that know how to collect and respond whatever happens to them on the ice. And the first goal, that may be a difference maker, or it may mean nothing because of the way both of these teams can respond. I'm with you. That could be – it could mean something. It could mean nothing the way these two teams have gone in the playoffs.
This feels like it has the potential to be a long series. What's your prediction?
Oh. You know, I'm not coming on your show, and I'm not picking against the Stars.
Yeah, my prediction for your prediction was going to be Stars in seven.
50.2% to 49. Yeah.
I would not be surprised if it goes seven, but I'll say six.
Ooh.
Let's go Dallas in six.
How?
Let's see if Stuart Skinner can have the magic repeat that it did last year for the Edmonton Oilers. Let's see if he can do it again.
How neat would that be to end the Canadian hope on Canadian soil, as awesome. They know that their cupless streak will extend to 33 years.
That'd be great.
I have many Canadian friends, so I'm not going to take that bait from you guys because I don't want to feel the grief from them. But I will say Peter DeBoer has had the best answer in a press conference of the playoffs this year. After Dallas beat Winnipeg, somebody asked him about being conflicted of being a Canadian native, but ending, you know, Canadian playoff runs, and Peter DeBoer looked at the person in the press conference and said, "Hey, at this point, I'm finished."
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, good sir. I'm sure we will be talking with you again sooner rather than later. Appreciate all the insight.
Enjoy the games, fellas. Good to talk to you.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Ryan Ray right here on 105.3 The Fan. Ooh, Dallas in six.
Dude, I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped. That conversation got me all riled up for tonight.
All right, let me throw it out there. Dallas wins this series in six games or less. There's no way I do not believe they will win the Stanley Cup. I don't care if Florida sweeps Carolina. I will not change my mind.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.